The apartment rebellion will not be televised. Resident experience will be more than a buzzword. Staff experience will finally matter. It's happening right now. It's in the hands of the doers, the innovators, the boundary pushers, who are moving the industry forward, just like the people on this show. This is the Apartment Rebels Podcast, hosted by Flamingo CEO Jude Chi. Welcome, friends of the rebellion, and may the force be with you.
Welcome to the latest episode of Flamingo's Apartment Rebels podcast. So on today's podcast, I am really, really excited to introduce Hamid Hajian, the co-founder and CEO of Zabel. So Zabel is a really, really cool company all about data. So Zabel's software offers data analytics tools to multifamily developers and general contractors to really run feasibility analysis during the early stages of design. Their technology really enables developers to leverage historical data and other things to create better cost estimates. And from our initial conversation at NMHC, you mentioned that typically without your software, it takes maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks for a developer to really create a back of the envelope estimate for a new construction. But with what you guys offer, they can get a really, really good estimate in just a few minutes, which is really incredible. So really excited to have Hamid on the call or on the webinar or on the podcast. So welcome, Hamid.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So welcome. Would really love to kind of dig in a little bit on your background. So I know you spent some time at a few really cool universities, from Shiraz to UCLA to Wharton. And I even heard that you are a PhD dropout. Can you tell us a little bit more about your educational background?
Sure, of course. I went to Shiraz University, studied civil engineering. Because of my family background in construction, my dad is a retired real estate developer in Iran. That's where I was born and raised. And I went to civil engineering program to get into the family business, basically. And later moved to the U.S. for my master's program in construction management. Went to USC. And I finished the master's program. At the same time, they started a new PhD program in construction management, and I became the first PhD student there. And I guess it's a requirement to be a dropout of some educational degree to become a successful entrepreneur. I thought maybe this is the degree I should drop out of. But no, that I was just joking. So that was not the plan. It happened because of other reasons. But finished there, spent there for a few years, did a bunch of research. But my focus was on construction technology. USC was really my door to technology side of construction. And that's where I learned about building information modeling, laser scanning, those kind of technology things. And after school graduation, I joined a company in New York. It was a small civil engineering consulting firm. And I joined their small BIM team there, working with general contractors, architects, and developers on their 3D modeling projects. And then moved back to California to join a multifamily company called Western National Group. And worked there for 5 years. While I was there, I attended the executive MBA program at the Wharton School, which gave me other ideas about how to run a business and kind of opened my view and saw the opportunity to do something in the industry and led to starting Zabel.
Oh, that's really cool. So the one thing that I've picked up from all of this is that you never went back to help your dad. Come back into the construction business.
I'm still in the same industry, but I was just so fascinated with the opportunity to stay on the technology side of it. I remember when I was at school, I did an interview for an internship position at a large construction company, but it was a technology side of it. And I remember the hiring manager telling me, are you aware that the career path you're picking is a very narrow career path, the mm-hmm. technology and construction, versus like a traditional career path in like you go, you become a project engineer, superintendent, project manager, and you just follow that path, become an executive at a company. And technology was new, but I would see that the potential. And I was just personally interested in it. It was exciting, and it is still very exciting. And now I'm very happy to be on the forefront of it, creating new technologies.
Yeah. So for Zabel, like how did it all come to be? So given your path, you have been in every aspect, part of construction, part of development. So at what point did it kind of resonate in your head? Like, hey, this current process for estimates doesn't make sense.
They say the necessity is the mother of all innovations, right? And that's what happened to me. I was in the pre-construction team at Western National, and we had a need for quick conceptual cost estimates. We had some tools and templates for our regular, like detailed cost estimating for our projects, but didn't really have a dedicated tool for conceptual cost estimating that was quick enough. And I surveyed the market, looked at all of the tools that are out there available off the shelf. None of them really worked the way we wanted them to do. And I ended up creating a tool, working with my teammates in the pre-construction team. And we called it a quick estimate tool. And we, of course, we need an acronym for everything. We called it QET.
Nice.
And we called it QET 1.0. And we kept working together on it and kept improving it, 1.0, 2.0, 2.2, 2.3. And and the idea was, in order to create a quick conceptual cost estimate, we need to leverage the historical data we have from previous projects mm-hmm. in a very systematic way. If you talk to any construction company and ask them, do you use your historical data? Do you have a historical database? Everyone says yes. But what most people mean by that is a collection of spreadsheets and PDFs mm-hmm. scattered throughout their shared drive. And it's not really used to their fullest potential. And what I did was gathered all of that historical data. First, it was all just in one spreadsheet versus mm-hmm. multiple spreadsheets. And we called it the database.
That's very creative with the names you come up with.
yeah, it was really our database. And then I started creating some of these dashboards. Imagine it's a spreadsheet, and then you have another tab that allows you to look up stuff from the first tab, the database. But it gives you some sort of a user interface instead of scrolling up and down and left and right in a giant spreadsheet. You can just click on the drop-down menu and select, I want to see project X, and I want to see how much we spent on cabinets, or I want to see the acreage of that project. As it started as simple as that, just looking up stuff from the database. And then people in the pre-construction team, they kept asking for more and more. And it was a really unique opportunity to innovate within the pre-construction team. And I was really privileged to work with like-minded professionals and forward-looking professionals within the pre-construction team to support that whole project. And so we kept adding more and more tools to it, including the quick estimate tool, which basically would let you plug in a few key metrics for your new projects. Mm-hmm. And then you would be able to select one or multiple comps from your historical projects. And then it would just generate a cost estimate for you instantly.
So I want to take a little bit of a step back. Can you, for the listeners that are not as educated on the construction or multifamily construction side of things, Can you kind of give a very high level overview of how it works? So how do I, as a developer, go from I want to build an apartment to it's now live? How does that all like work?
Absolutely. So if you are a developer, and the first thing is you would identify a piece of land to build a building on it. Once you identify a piece of land through your internal team or a broker approaches you and say, this is a great opportunity to buy this 2 acres piece of land in this address, and you can build a 4-story building on it. And the first thing they do is they would go and hire an architect to do a conceptual design, like a site plan. Show me some boxes that this is the kind of thing you can build, and you can probably fit 120 apartment units in there, and here's how much land you will have left outside of your building footprint while you comply with the codes about the setbacks and things like that. And then that process usually takes a few days, maybe a week or so. Then they take that, go to step number two. They go to a general contractor or their internal pre-construction team and ask them, how much does it cost me to build this thing that the architect drew? And that's what we call the conceptual cost estimate. Mm-hmm. You have maybe a site plan, some hand-drawn stuff, you still need to come up with a number. This thing is going to cost $100 million or $50 million. These are really large projects that we are dealing with. And they take that number, but it would take him around like 2 to 3 weeks to come up with that number, even back of an envelope. They go to the step number three, running their pro forma, which is the cash flow projections for that project. Here's how much it's going to cost us to build it. Here's how much rent we estimate to get out of it. And here's how much money, what's their net profit we can make off of this project. And then they can see if it makes sense to move forward with that project or not, if it's profitable enough. And if it's not, they go back to the architect, step number one, and tell them that design didn't work. Change it a little bit. Make it bigger, make it smaller, make it taller or shorter. Do something with it. And they go through that whole process iteratively until they find a design that makes the project financially profitable. And they go through that again and again, really. That's the most time-consuming part. And a lot of times they look at so many deals and it just none of them work, and they just move on to the next project.
Abandon the site itself, or they abandon like the project itself?
They abandon that whole project site, let's just move on to the next one. After spending thousands of dollars and just weeks and months on that project. And that's very inefficient. That's how we felt it, because I remember in the pre-construction team, developers would come to us with a piece of site plan and ask for a conceptual cost estimate, and we would deliver it. And then 3 months later, they would come back with a slightly different design on the same land. And we're like, so what's going on? We did some research and we figured we are part of this cycle that the developers are going through. And it just takes months and they're spending so much money on it. And a lot of times they just lose the deal and without really finding a design that works. Wow. And we figured step number two, the cost estimating, is the bottleneck of the whole process. Mm-hmm. And the most important part, because construction cost makes up around 70% of the total development cost. And that's the biggest exposure they have, the biggest risk for their decision-making for investment.
And so Zebel, how is the construction cost calculated? So if someone doesn't have Zebel, like how does that work now?
It's either they just go off of a gut feeling per square foot number, and people try to just look at, okay, this project looks like project X we built 2 years ago. That project was $300 per square foot. And so maybe this one is going to cost us $320 per square foot, but that one was a little bit bigger. This one is a smaller. It's going to cost us a little bit more or because of this or that. This was in a different location. And people try to triangulate that in their head. And sometimes they work a spreadsheet to come up with a number, but there is no hard science really behind it. It's very kind of gut feeling based on experience. And that's why it's too often it's very inaccurate. And inaccuracy at that stage means developers kill a lot of deals unnecessarily because they thought it would cost them too much, but it wouldn't really cost them that much. They were just too conservative with their initial cost estimate. And sometimes they move forward with the project until they realize that it's going to cost them a lot more than what they thought. Mm-hmm. And they're already too deep into the project. And it puts them in difficult situations. And what we thought, if we can come up with that number quickly and accurately, it would change the whole game. That means you can try so many different design scenarios very quickly and get to that optimal design in a few days and use that as a starting point and go to the architect and say, can you design something to these parameters? You are the architect, you make it look beautiful and functional, but as long as your design stays within these parameters, then I already know how much it's gonna cost me, how much money I'm gonna make off of it, and if it's gonna be profitable or not. So that would be the big game changer.
So from what I'm getting, there has to be a ton of data that's utilized and a ton of inputs that have to be utilized in order to get an accurate estimate. So can you kind of give us an overview of the Zebel platform? So what are the inputs you all look at to come up with estimates in minutes?
So there are two major inputs basically for any estimate. The first is about a dozen key metrics for a multifamily apartment development project. And those are, where is the project? What's the product type? Is it a podium? Is it a wrap or a garden-style walk-up project? What's the acreage of the land? What is the unit mix? How many one-bedrooms, two-bedrooms do you have? How big is each of the units? What's the gross square footage of the building? What is your parking ratio? How big is your parking? And what are your amenities and or retail square footages in your project? Some key basic programming numbers for your project. That's the first input. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is picking the right, the relevant and recent historical projects as your comp. It works just like how appraisers for mortgage work. They look at your house. They want to appraise the value of your house. But what they do is they look at similar recent sales mm-hmm. in the neighborhood. And they try to triangulate between those and adjust it to fit your house's specific like number of bedrooms and bathrooms and square footages. That's basically what we do. We do that very similar fashion for construction costs. So that's the second input. But the nice thing is, instead of looking up cost for cabinets and concrete and steel from different projects, you just select which project you want to use as a comp. Mm-hmm. And the system looks up all of those numbers for you instantly. Wow. It looks up like hundreds of line items from concrete to steel to cabinets, finished carpentry, site work, anything you have in your budget. It does all of that instantly. It already applies the cost escalation because of the historical projects are historical by definition. You want to bring those dollars to today. Maybe you want to apply some premium to it. It just automates all of that number crunching. So the estimators don't have to spend time copying and pasting numbers from one cell to another in spreadsheets and managing a spreadsheet. But they spend most of their time analyzing the estimate rather than number crunching and you know doing some of the mundane work that doesn't really add much value to the estimate.
So let's say I was your first customer and I wanted to work with you all. Where does that historical data you just mentioned come from? Did you all have to go out to find like volunteers to provide you with that data? So how did you get like that first set of data that things are based off of?
So when you want to create an estimate, you have two options for selecting your comps. You can either use your own internal historical data or you can use what we call the market data, which is the data we are aggregating from our other customers and anonymizing it. So even if there is no other company on our platform, which there are, you can still use your own. That's the primary value proposition we have. You can just tap into the power of your own data that is locked in spreadsheets. But as we get more and more customers on our platform, our database is getting richer and richer. That means now you have this secondary source of data that you can tap into if you don't have the internal data from your own projects.
And I think that's what I love the most about your platform is that as you get more customers, you get more data and everything just becomes even better and more accurate over time. It's like how Google grew so quickly is the more inputs they get, the more accurate and the better it becomes. So very curious, have you looked at, I'm sure you have already done this, but what is the accuracy? So after you provide an estimate, have you done the analysis to look at how many hits you have after construction is done?
So I can give you an anecdotal code I received recently from one of our customers. So they are a general contractor. They received the request for an estimate from a developer. They put together a number through Zebel. It came out at $313 million. The developer got another estimate from a different general contractor, and it came out at $315 million through the traditional process that takes like a couple of weeks. And after that, customers saw that like accuracy, how close it gets to other ones, but they spent maybe 30 minutes versus like 2 weeks, they became an investor in Zebel.
Oh, wow. So that's how you know you have a good product.
Yes. So they really believed, they already believed in it. They were a user, but now they really believed in it. And I saw some of those things too. Like when I was at Western National, we used this for a project for Lennar multifamily communities. It was a project in Irvine, in Southern California. It was 280 some condos. And the first they came to us, asked for an estimate based on about 9 pages worth of design. It was very like basic, just site plans. We put together a number, sent it to them. A few months later, they came back with more pages of design, more detail. We updated our estimate and they ended up hiring Western National as their general contractor to actually buy out the project and do the work. And when they bought out the project, we were so curious to compare that bought out budget, the GMP number with the initial budget that we put together a year earlier. One key thing you have to keep in mind is you have to adjust those numbers for the time that has lapsed and some of the design changes that developers make throughout the design process. And after we normalized for those changes, the two numbers were within 3%. It was very close. So, and we did that. We saw the same thing over and over again on different kinds of projects. And we got really convinced that this is accurate. It is working. Over the course of 2 years, I used this system to create more than 200 estimates for a variety of different projects, for different developers, different kinds of projects. And I made sure it works before I quit my job and start this business.
Very important step.
Yes. Yeah. Usually when our customers ask me, how accurate is this? And I tell them I made sure it's accurate before I quit my job when I had a 1 year old at home.
Nice.
To make sure
that's the best ever guarantee.
Yes.
I put my family's livelihood on this.
Yes.
And then, so if I'm a developer, what is the big advantage outside of speed? Is there a cost differential for using a platform versus going to a traditional estimation route?
So the, like you said, the primary one is the time you gain, the time savings. Also, but the biggest advantage here is you get to optimize your design before you even talk to the designer. You get to try different, you get to evaluate different design options for your project parametrically and really understand what seems to be the most optimal design metrics for this project in this particular area for this particular size of land that seems to work for my project. Mm-hmm. And you can really optimize your project. You might have heard about this concept of generative design, which is basically the idea of let the computer create thousands of different design options for your design, for your project. It could be designing a bike, it could be designing a car or anything, or it could be a real estate development project, and let the computer report back to you. This one seems to be the most efficient based on the criteria that you set here and the constraints you have there. That's where we are headed. And then the other big benefit that you would otherwise not have is just access to this intelligence about the market. Interestingly, when developers want to understand how much other developers are spending on their construction projects, or just they just want to get some market intelligence, the main and only source is just picking up the phone, asking their friends, and asking them, how much are your podiums costing you these days? And it's a kind of like, tell me your secret, so I'll tell my secret to you. And no one wants to openly share their most sensitive information to their competitors or even to their friends in other companies. And that's where we thought there is really a great opportunity to become the Switzerland of construction costs.
Nice. Neutral ground.
Yeah, and work with everyone. Yeah. And become that kind of central hub of construction cost data. So everyone can just look it up if they want to search for different pieces of construction cost. They wouldn't Google it, they would Zebel it.
Yeah, nice. I love that. So the thing that I keep going back to is this just has a lot of data. Like, it requires a lot of data input. And you've mentioned that when developers come to you, for some of them, they have all of this historical data. And a lot of that could either live in spreadsheets, it could live in like PDFs, someone's head. What's the process to get that data into your system? I imagine it has to be, for some of it, at least a fairly manual process and could be very error prone.
Great question. So it is a big task. We have established a semi-automated process to do that because we have done it for multiple clients by now, and we have figured a way to do it relatively fast, and certainly way faster than how the developer would do it themselves. We can do it faster, even though it's their data. And what we are moving towards automating that 100%. We are going to use AI to completely automate that and make it just seamless for companies to collect information. But now there is a manual element in there. But because our team comes from pre-construction world, we understand how to deal with those numbers, and it just minimizes the error. Possibility of error in the whole updating and data uploading process.
Wow. And then how would all this like data, I imagine there is a slew of insights you all see as you get more and more into the system. So what are some surprising insights you have seen?
So interestingly, I remember people were always interested in how much cost escalation has been in the market in the past, let's say a year ago, the past 2 years. And there's no consensus even on that, the things that happened in the past. You would think the things that happened in the past, they're all just hard data on it and you can just look at it. But there's no really such thing to look at that. And let alone predicting the future, no one really has that crystal ball. But one of the first things that we tried to focus on was to even report the prior year's cost escalations that we have seen in the market through the lens of data. And a lot of companies just use a 5% per year escalation. And that's just a number that everyone uses.
Yeah, the inflation.
But no one really believes in it. Like, how did you get that number? Just nothing, because everyone else uses the same number and there's no hard science behind it. So what we are trying to do is to kind of regenerate those numbers or validate those numbers that everyone is using through the lens of data and offer that as like extra kind of insights that we are getting from our data points. But as we get more and more data in our system, there will be more opportunities to extract those kinds of insights.
Wow, no, I love that. I can imagine you guys will get a lot the more data comes in and the more variety of customers you work with. Mm-hmm. And you can really see across the board, like the differences between garden style versus like high rises, just like an amazing slew of insights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So
what kind of feedback do you get from your customers?
So they love how quick they can create these estimates, and it just makes it a lot easier. They don't have to go through all of that copy and pasting and spreadsheets. And also the fact that they have just one central repository of all of their historical data. Especially we see that interest from executives at these companies. Nowadays, in a typical construction or development company, if an executive wants to know how much we spent on windows per apartment unit on project X, they have to ask their report, who ask someone who knows exactly which spreadsheet to look up and in which folder. And by the time they get that number, it's like a week later and it's just too old. But now, like anyone on their team can go on their account with a few clicks, get to that number. You spent $3 million on windows. Here's how much the cost was per apartment unit, per bedroom, per windows, per slice and dice it really quickly, get to that number within the same meeting that they're talking about that, rather than let me get back to you on that. And we even went above and beyond. We have added a cool text messaging interface with their cell phone. So if you want to look up that number, how much you spend on the windows, to get to that $2 million, you can go on the web application and with a few clicks get there, or text Zabel, how much was the cost of windows on Project X? And you get an automatic text back, $2 million. Wow. And so we thought, amazing. Even if you don't like to log in or sign up anything, you don't have to download an app on your phone. You know how to text, and you can text in English. You're already connected to our system, and you can access your data.
Nice. Then are you all going back on 100% of projects that have been done with your estimates to confirm the accuracy and then input that as additional data into your system?
Not all of the projects, because one thing to keep in mind is we focus on conceptual, like early stage conceptual mm-hmm. estimates. Most of those projects that developers run estimate on, they get shelved. They never get built. So there's no chance to verify mm-hmm. how accurate that those numbers are. But the ones that do progress and become an actual project, we try to follow with our customers and ask them mm-hmm. how accurate was that from the beginning. But like I said, I made sure it is accurate before I quit my job.
Nice. Then what's like next for you all? What are some of your big upcoming milestones or new features?
So we are constantly adding more new features and capabilities to the software. But our kind of next big milestone is to expand outside of multifamily sector and go into office, retail, warehouse development. And because we have cracked the code on one of the most complicated sectors in terms of estimating a number of variables involved, we are going to have an easier way getting into other sectors like retail, office. There are simpler structures to estimate mm-hmm. compared with the multifamily. And we are going to expand into those markets. We have made some good inroads. We are already talking to Google's real estate development team. Mm-hmm. They saw our product at a conference, and like on the spot, they said, we have been working on an internal project, but your tool is just way more advanced and developed. And And now we are negotiating actually a contract with them for them to become our first Office developer customer. To use our system for it. So that's we are very excited about that. I didn't really see that coming like this fast. That's kind of like the next big project for us to get outside of multifamily and grow from there.
Wow, that's amazing. So Hamid, this is awesome having you on. My last question for you is, looking at the multifamily industry, what are some of your predictions for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years?
Well, because my focus is on the technology, take my answer with a grain of salt that it's so focused on the technology side. Of course, I do see the importance of the role of data in decision making, not just for new development, but also for apartment rentals, for the operations of those buildings, even for the transactions in buying and selling the multifamily properties. Companies are really understanding the value of technology and data that they can leverage to gain a competitive advantage in the market and become better at their game, versus their competitors. Yeah. That's something that I definitely see coming up. If you look at the level of use of technology in apartment communities these days, compared to that, just 5-10 years ago, it's just mind blowing kind of usual it is considered to have, community Wi-Fi and smart thermostats and a lot of smart things in the apartments, which was not the case years ago. Everyone had those fob keys to enter their apartments. And nowadays, everyone is talking about those like access control systems. Yep. And the conversation is about which access control technology is better than the other, rather than do I keep the fob key or go something forward. So and that's all exciting. It's difficult to innovate in our industry because it's been operating in traditional ways for such a long time. But at the same time, it's a blessing that means there's lots of opportunities to innovate around.
Yeah, and exactly why it's really always awesome to meet founders like you who are looking to really push the industry forward. So you are our latest rebel. So, I mean, really awesome having you on our podcast.
Thanks very much for having me.